Happiness is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. Well, we seek to be happy. Everybody likes to be happy. We embrace it. Joy, happiness, it's part of the counteractment of why we walk presently within this world. Nobody wants to be waking up in the morning, we're looking over our shoulder, and we're like, ah! Like somebody put a snake in my bed or a motor around in the middle of the night, and I'm just not happy about that decision. Do you think that happiness lies within that it is the derogatory of being capable of embracing it? Some would say that it's a feeling, though. Describe happiness. Do you have your own definite form of it? Absolutely. It's the way that I feel. It's the way that I think. And I tell you the absolute truth. It comes in a skin, a color, shape, and size. She's this tall, this many weights, and this many inches. Knock on the door. Yes, now please excuse me. But I thought that you said it was a substance. It's eternal. It's on the inside. It's heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, if you would. Thought, word, and deed. Is that true? Where does it manifest? Where does it grow within you? Our happiness can't be defined by the score and measure. Think of the limitation and the restriction. If happiness is a feeling, which is good, it's good to feel good about things. Some of us, we have deep souls. I like the way that it feels. Or I'm purchasing a house. I walk up into the house and I'm like, ooh, I've got chills. You know, I don't like the presence of this atmosphere. So I'm going to ask to leave. I'm going to have to reside. I'm going to walk away from this venue because it's not providing the type of outlook that I'm searching for. But yet happiness is more than that feeling. They say home is where the heart is. Where do you sleep at night? Think about what I'm saying. It shall never be the restriction of limitation. Doesn't that sound like obligation of acceptance? Acceptance of obligation? Think about what I'm saying. The infrastructure of limitation has been created. There's sorrow, there's agony, there's grief. Well, I'm saddened. It's a sense of oppression. I'm not happy. I'm terrified in this life that's been provided for me. Goodness, I don't mean to spook you, but I'm not happy. I don't get it. Should it be substance-induced? Should it be the catalyst of, it's just as simple as that. I flipped a switch. We've taken a magical bean. I've placed it within my mouth. I take a sip of water. Within a certain amount of minutes, the half-life changes within my bloodstream. And all of a sudden, I'm induced with a sense of happiness. And boy, oh boy, do I feel good about it. Excellent. And what a good response. But it is the key to existence, is it not? If I find happiness, gratitude, perseverance, a little bit of determination, right? You got to have the self-will. I'm not doubting the essence of it, right? Presently walking within my own existence, right? I put myself at a better level. What does that mean? I'm not down or frowned upon because of the catalyst of somebody else. Like they're the third person narrative staring down at me and they're like, you're too happy. They're slamming some Ganvil down on the table. Bam. I'm like, no, I don't know what you got going on, but you got to leave. You got to walk within your own shadow. But is that true? Maybe some of us embrace the life. I'm not quite sure. So where were we at? The score and the measure. Yes, of course. I'm not thinking of like going a long distance here, Hail Mary pass here. I got 100 yards. I'm going for the touchdown. I'm putting 7 points up on the board. I'm hoping for the extra point. I mean, we might go for two. I'm not quite sure. But I'm trying to put points on the board. It's all about the score. It's all about the measure. So going the long distance, seeking eternity, or if you would, what good would happiness be if it only is short-term based? Well, that was quick, short, and sweet. But I'm glad that you feel better about things. Well, I actually don't. But I released a physical science behind the endorphins that were in my mind. And my glands and my body responded to the excitement that it was receiving. And I recognize it as being happiness. And since it was an emotional overload, I reference this as being a win in this life. But how long does it last? And is that what you bank on in life? So what if you fed somebody 24/7? And I'm hungry. I eat. When I was a balanced diet, right? You see me, I'm going to the fitness center daily. I apologize. Let's not talk about a dietitian or diets and how we actually progress in the world. But what if you were feeding somebody, but they were always hungry and they never had fulfillment in any way, shape, or form? Then it could be the pill. We don't need placebos. It could be the pill, the magic bean, if you would, can provide sustainment. Oh, absolutely. Undoubtedly, without doubt, that can take us above and beyond. Well, feelings of emotions could be no more than happiness, long-term longevity. Do you think that happiness is the catalyst of acknowledge of somebody else saying that a pill was your life? Well, I think that your mouth opened. I think different. Let's not take it there, right? The condemnation of judging one another. I think it's irrelevant. So it can't be the score of the measure, but yet we're going back to being a child as we're praying down on our knees in a sense of acknowledgement. Will you choose to suffer for who and for what aspect, and why shall you? I choose happiness. Don't you get it? Have you ever heard anybody exiting a relationship? It's almost like they were working for a Fortune 500 company and it's an exit interview. She's like, okay, so I get it. You're leaving me. You moved on. You have a girlfriend. Can I ask you what I did wrong? And they're like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. They're like, I'm just not happy. I'm not happy anymore. I'm just not happy. So it's a confession of the testament of the truth of the life that they're leading, right? And is somebody else responsible for your happiness, for your joy? And if they are, you're given that same possession of mentality within belief. It could be a little bit of a faith mixed in there. You're derogative towards it, but you're giving it back to them. And this is the walk of confinement that I find in. Well, if you confine in them for happiness, you also confine in them for the exact opposite, for there needs to be the zing and the zang. Yeah. Or is that what it is? The yin and the yang. I'm not sure. There needs to be the check and the balance. Yes, of course. Righteous and evil. You forgot about yay and nay. The ladder, the hook. Or is it the ball and chain? I'm not really sure. But either way, it is that sense of confinement. So now all of a sudden, I'm not capable of exceeding expectations. But who set the limit? Who raised the bar? Where's the standard at? And by the way, I don't want to fall below this line. Once I've achieved life at this point and at this purpose, I find it impossible to upheave myself. I don't want to go backwards, or nor shall I be a neutral. So the confinement is also the theoretically approach. But it goes beyond reason at this point. Now I've got my hands in my pocket. I'm restricted. I'm limited. And when I feel like I'm upheaving or I have a sense of application, now my hands are no longer in my pocket and they're capable of helping and giving in other ways, in other shapes, in other forms. But there is opposition to every topic and every addressing issue, is there not? So the person exiting the relationship, I'm not happy. They're also asking for that person to condemn them. Why shall it be my problem that you're not happy? I don't quite understand it. And I like Christianity, Lord, forgive me, I think different. But why shall it be, and how could it be my problem that you're not happy? Your happiness lies within you, doesn't it? But if I give it away, I'm going to do a Red Hot Chili Peppers, give it away, give it away, give it away now. If I give it away, right? That somebody else might not be capable of having it. Well, my happiness lies within somebody else. How come? Because I've given it away to them. I confine in them for happiness, even if it's a physical, emotional overload of release. I like them real big loads of laundry. I got a big comforter. You know, I try to put sheets up in there, pillows, all kinds of stuff. It comes out and everything looks bright and white. It's real nice. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get off topic here. I mean, my goodness, a little bit of suds in the bucket. Yes, of course. Of course. But it can't be the emotional extension of the release. Do you think that you're emotionally prepared for this topic? But what is the topic for discussion? Because most topics are not available for discussion. And some would arguably say, well, the discussion for topic is life. And I would say, stop. What are you doing? Life itself is not up for discussion. Regardless if you agree, if you give it consent, you say yes, you say no, it's righteous or it's evil. Well, you're condemned or you're redeemed, which are all shades and tones of self-intellectual, what? Imprisonment, right? I live by the brash of my own boldness. That's not being bold. By the way, why are you so tarnished? What is that smell that comes right out of you, right? How do you know they're not forgiven? How do you know they're not redeemed? How do you know they're not happy? I see the way that they walk. The way that they talk, the meals that they choose to eat, the way that their lip imprint is left on the wine glass. I look at the way that they stare upon one another in the intellect and the dialogue and terminology. The vocabulary drives me insane. I'm used to hearing an expanded vocabulary, and they can't get past high and by. Oh, it's outright obliterant, if you would. Bonkers? You're for real? Absolutely. Did you hear what they said? We can't. And we shall not, in any way, shape, or form, allow this dynamic of mentality. And it's a social expression, yes, of course. The sense of assertion in society. Do I exist in society, or does society exist in me? We can't let it detoxify our own meaning. Because if happiness comes no more than a variable of something I can have from somebody, or something I can't have from somebody, then I'm really wondering, who are you? They got Dr. Seuss, the original children's book. You go right back on into it. And they've got it. They've still got it to the day. Who are you? They're gonna, oh, sitting up in the tree. They're looking at it like, wow, is that for real? So we progress within life. And by the way, if you search for happiness, and it's hard to find, it usually lies within. And don't get me wrong, there are enhancers. I like the mood enhancers. I like the catalyst. They call it the happy pill. They've been working with it since like the 60s and 70s. Everybody's like, yay! Some of us, we get to have fun at night. You know what I'm saying? Throw a light on, grab a bottle. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Where you at? I think different. But if you're searching for happiness, you're also searching for sorrow, for agony, for hate, for loss. How come though? Because misery enjoys company, and everything that you've been giving is within you. It's not that self-deluded notion of somebody else. Think about it. It changes the parts per million dramatically. You hear that somebody's scorned and bitten. You walk up into a room and your life is grand. You're outright doing it right. You're walking in a straight line and you can expect success. You can expect fulfillment. I'm all the way turned up here. Can't you see me? I'm happy within the life that I'm leading. And I think that it's not a moral testament like crucifixion. I'm crucifying myself, but I think it's a sense of confession of what you're actually capable and able of. We're happy with the life we're leading. But then you shall not have to talk about it. You don't need acknowledgement from somebody else, but you present yourself into the social dynamic that we call the world. And then you exist in this world, and all of a sudden you hear somebody, you go to church or you go to work, and they say, I just feel real bad for him. Why, what's going on? Well, his wife, one of his wives, she's stepping out on him 24/7. And I'm not sure what to do. I feel like if I put myself in that own position, I would feel terrible about it. Here we go with happiness, sorrow, and agony. And should we judge? Shall we condemn? Should we involve ourselves within that mindset? Well, I would hope not. And I choose not to. I don't want to. But think about what's happening here. It's only the social dynamic of the want and need of relevance. What if, Lord forgive me, and I think different. I try to go outside of the box, and I'm not big on shapes. Sometimes I'll do a triangle, circle, and square. We can mix it up if that's what you enjoy. It's okay. Right? But I think along the lines of what if that didn't exist? What if there was no sorrow? What if there wasn't no agony? And by the way, every label that you can think of, whether it is happiness, whether it is accepted, whether it is denied, whether it is love or hated, excuse me, every one of those, what if there was never an acknowledgement behind them? What if it was only a self-serving notion to your dearest, nearest wants and needs? And every time that you release something, whether it was positive or negative, it was no more than a confession of what you're seeing, perceiving, or the life that you're actually leading. If you don't mind me asking, I have to interrupt. I'm at an auction here. I'm throwing my card up. I'm like, yep. I'm trying to get my bid in real quick, right? Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. But I'm only wondering, is that life for sale? What is the value of it? And if you don't mind me saying, how could you take it for granted? Because it doesn't require acknowledgement from somebody else. So the sympathetic view of empathetic standards is no more than I'm suffering in some way, shape, or form. But haven't you heard there's other individuals that are suffering from the same aspect? But there are no norms. There is nothing wrong with you. So happiness can't be something that we created. But yet life itself is not up for discussion. And we make an excuse as to why we should be a battalion against ourselves and against one another. Do you think that there's a catalyst here? Do you think that there's an igniter? I heard she's stepping out on him. I went home and it was bothering me so bad. Bothersome, if you would. Deceptiveness, that seed got planted. The conception, boom, off to the races. The door got opened. I start worrying about it. And worrying, fear is a liar, right? I don't think you have anything to worry about. Well, you shall worry about yourself. But you know, you don't understand. I made a commitment to her. I'm going to continue to love her unconditionally to the end of time and possibly beyond that to eternity. Excuse me. Excuse me. I love you. Remember me? I love you. That is the truth. It's a sense of testament. But what if you don't walk within that line? Well, nobody said that that line was right for you, nor that it needs to be right for somebody else. Do you think that acceptance is no more than being capable of dealing with who you are? And you're the one that judges your own condemnation? Wait, praise, I said, I'm going to heaven. Seek and ye shall find. Who are you? Right. My goodness. Don't stir the pot if it don't need stirring. Check the temperature of it while you're at it. You probably should boil some water. Everybody said tea and biscuits. I'm not quite sure. But we fundamentally fall when we're searching for this dynamic of acceptance. Well, now you don't love me. What do you mean? I heard there's individuals that perform way better in bed. They're all stars. They're professionals. They're capable of lighting a candle and throwing a light on. And my Lord, they go for hours and hours and hours. You wake up in the morning, you're still laying on the ground, and they're saluting on their way out the door. I'll be back. Get some rest. You know what I mean? I ain't mad at you. But the standard of measurement, the score and measure, cannot be a comparison notion. Well, you loved her different. You love me more. She loves you less. But what about love? Love is unrestricted, isn't it? And being Christianity and having that view, that dynamic, the escape, if you want, run! God is love. He is the creator, the giver and taker, the one that put breath within my lungs. I like to breathe, by the way. I even breathe while I'm asleep. It's hard to imagine. Can you imagine? A little bit crazy, right? Yeah, I take it. Very good. So the dynamic of wholeness, of purpose of life, the fulfillment of love can't be expectation 24/7. I'm just on some moral-driven path of expectation 24/7. I've got expectation of myself. There's others that have expectations of me. I'm always being critiqued. I'm being judged. I have no privacy. And nobody's allowed to have any gains in any shape or any form or any sense of sustainment. My Lord, are you standing on a solid foundation? No, I shall not. In fact, I'm going to leave. Where are you going? To my mom's. I've had enough. I'm moving out. It's okay. Calm down. It's okay. Remember, I still love you. No, but I'm not happy. But what does that have to do with me? You fell in love with this person. Not the emotion, not the feeling, not this thing that could exit you within a minute. Remember, you were searching for a feeling and a vibe. I said that I could provide something for you. I might be capable of intensifying it. I could tease you. I could entice you. Is that truly what you're looking for? Are you looking for somebody that's going to sell you out real quick? 0 to 100 real quick? You know, I think I could be wrong. You remember the little black book? I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to look at some of the numbers real quick. And I'm call up some of these girls, see if they're available. And I'm going to see if I can get them to commit and make the commitment of marriage and long-term eternity. And I think it's more about the chase for me. I just want the fulfillment of knowing that I can accomplish the longevity of commitment. And if I'm capable of getting a yes from them, yes, I do. And yes, I want you. Then I think that I'll win the battle and I'll get what I want. And then after that, I can walk away and I can stop trying. Oh my goodness, who are you? Isn't that a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself, though? How dare you? You shall not. I'm calling my mom. I bet you are. Mm-hmm. Very good. So we don't think about we. We are the yes, we are a little bit French, sure. Right? Riding the cycle, trying to weigh it out. But we forget about the better half and we forget about the everlasting aspect of commitment. So when I reference the purpose of life, there's a commitment there immediately. Whether you acknowledge it or you don't acknowledge it, you need breath. You need water. You're alive. You're living. So there's some form of commitment. I shall commit to being alive, or I shall commit to being dead. Love to hate or hate to love. Well, that should be your choice and not anybody else's. You said that you had goals, didn't you? And what are your goals? And where do they lead you? Do you think there's a sense of moral prioritization? Well, my goals are part of what my partner and spouses want. I even went plural. I got a good joke for you. Some say it's bad humor. I've been single for too long. I'm ready to be plural. Sure. Why don't we try to expand love? Love multiplies and it grows. Excellent. Very good. So back to expectations. Do expectations lead your derogatory in the sense of moral crucifixion? And if they do, your life, your God, the reason why you're alive, and this shall be your love, right away. I mean, we've looked at this. Studies have proven it. There's scientific notions. Your love is the reason why you're alive. And most of us would say life. Life is enough. It's fulfillment. It's love. I love seeing procreation. Very good. Excellent. But if your love is no more than doubt, it is hate. It is the serpentine. It's the snake. You've been bitter. You've been bitten. And there is no turning around in any way, shape, or form. How can that be an outlashing for me? My testament of confession or repentance cannot be that I shall find myself further away from you in every way, shape, or form. For the truest form of love, if love has prosperity, it also experiences inequity. For what goes up must come down. And I don't know if you guys are using helium or if you've got like jet blue or what's the octane rating and how much that costs per gallon, but I'm telling you, I'm expecting combustion here, and it could be eternal. I'm waiting for somebody to light the fuse. Off to the races you go, boom, like a rocket. Very good. I shall not seek the inequity and find it to be a burden within you or within me. Excellent! Very, very good. What are you looking for? It's this feeling. It's this vibe. I'm just a little bit down and out at this moment. Would you like to talk about it? I just don't think that you'd understand, and I don't want to get you down and out. But you said open terms of communication. We love God together. Excuse me. I'm in love with my Creator and my Savior. So am I. But we've chosen to love one another. I shall not hold anything back from you. Even when I'm experiencing sorrow, sadness, agony. You said you love to hate and hate to love. I shall share it with you. Is that okay? Excuse me. We choose what's relevant. And we choose the prioritization of the clock, the biological standard that changes as we age, we evolve, we mature. And some of us undoubtedly, you would think that we stumble and fall. But to stumble and fall, you must have advanced in some way, shape, or form. And if you shall not or you didn't, you're still crawling. Instead of going up, you might go down. Are you okay down there? Did you need a rope? Did you want me to call somebody, a crane? We can pull you out. Can you hear me? We get further and further away from our souls, from our wants, from our needs, from our true purpose in life. And all of a sudden, before you know it, I'm searching for a feeling that can never be found. Well, I've worked with individuals that have taken it to extremes, experts, if you would. And for them to experience that climax of pleasure, it's taken to some outer realm of not even being alive. They're put on some pendulum of being suspended, and every one of their organ systems starts responding in a catalyst like C4 explosions going off. Boom, 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 boom. And next thing you know, they're waking up with neurological shock and their whole body's convulsion. And they've experienced the best pleasure that they've ever experienced in their life. But when they wake up in the morning, their body's mad at them. Who are you? I'm that person who decided to be mean to me. To who? To me. You never truly hate anybody else, nor are you truly ever hating or denying or suppressing somebody else's feelings or emotions. The excuse, if you would, to tell somebody else, I'm just not happy, this is no more than a confession that you're not getting what you want. Shall you seek a pacifier? And if not, would you like the bottle? It's your choice and it's your decision. So if the lashing doesn't work, but the confession is more relevant, or the confession is relevant for me to change my ways, and the lashing, how dare you, I shall not seek to be punished. Well, that's your choice and it's your decision. Happiness is not up for discussion, neither is the term in the topic life, but the moral inequity of moral dilemma? Well, yes, of course, but that only lies and exists within what you find to be relevant. I don't need to be bothered, but that doesn't mean that you can't share yourself with somebody else. Openness with arms wide open, Lord forgive me, spiritual, physical, intimate, emotional maturity. There's a whole lot of substance there, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. It internalizes and it manifests from the inside and works its way out. Plant seeds of greatness and watch it grow, and watch it grow within your partner. Excuse me. And you take it further than that each and every day. I like haiku poems, bread and breakfast, and flowers, things like this. A little bit of chocolate goes a whole long ways. And we get special holidays and things like that. Lord, forgive me. Thank you for joining me on another night of Life or Death Ministries. Tonight was a little bit of an unorthodox approach to giving you the mindset and mentality of emotional responsiveness within your levels of maturity or what you find to be intellectually, physically, spiritually compelling. You shall not condemn yourself nor condemn anybody else. But if there's a sense of purpose within that definition, you shall not let it lead you astray because truly, he can find you within that enactment, and you can find yourself. The solid foundation exists beneath your feet, and you shall not sink when you stand, nor shall you fall. But yet most of us aren't capable of embracing that light, because when there is light, there shall be darkness. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and look for some of the daily updates that I have. Have a very, very good evening. God bless you.